She reached out and put her left hand on my right, where it rested on the gear shift.
"What about to Anastasia?" she asked.
I felt my jaws tighten. It took me a moment to make them relax and ask,
"Do you have any family?"
"Yes," she said, "technically." "Technically?" "The men and women I grew up with, who I knew? They've been dead for generations. Their descendants are living all over Italy, in Greece, and there are few in Algeria, but it isn't as though they invite their great-great-great-great-great-great-grand-aunt to their Christmas celebrations. They're strangers." I frowned, thinking that over, and looked at her.
"Strangers."
She nodded. "Most people aren't willing to accept a radical fact like the lifespan of our kind, Harry. There are some families who have. Martha Liberty, for example, lives with one of her multiple great-granddaughters and her children. But mostly, it ends badly when wizards try to stay too close to their kin." She bowed her head, apparently studying her sling as she spoke. "I look in on them every 5 or 6 years, without them knowing. Keep an eye out for any of the children who might develop a talent."
"But you had a real family once," I said.
She sighed and looked out the window.
"Oh, yes. It was a very long time ago.
I remember my father, a little, but I was raised an orphan." She winced.
"Dio, Harry."
Her fingers squeezed mine.
"You never had anyone, did you?"
"And if I did find someone," I said, feeling my throat constricting as I spoke, "I would do anything necessary to protect him. Anything." Anastasia looked out the window, letting out a hiss of what sounded like anger.
"Margaret, you selfish bitch."
I blinked and looked at her, and nearly got us both killed when a passing car cut me off and I almost couldn't stop the monster rolls in time.
You knew my mother?
"All the wardens knew her," Anastasia said quietly.
"She was a warden?"
Anastasia was silent for a moment before shaking her head.
"She was considered a threat to the laws of magic."
"What does that mean?"
"It means that she made it a point to dance as close to the edge of breaking the laws as she possibly could whenever she got the chance," Anastasia replied. "It took her all of a year after she was admitted to the council to start agitating for change."
I had to focus on the road. This was more than I'd ever heard from anyone in the council about the enigmatic figure who had given me life. My hands were sweating and my heart was thudding.
"What kind of change?" "She was furious that the laws of magic have nothing to do with right and wrong. She pointed out how wizards could use their abilities to bilk people out of their money, to intimidate and manipulate them, to steal wealth and property from others, or destroy it outright. And that so long as the laws were obeyed, the council would do nothing whatever to stop them or discourage others from following their example. She wanted to reform the council's laws to embrace concepts of justice, as well as limiting the specific use of magic."
I frowned.
"Wow, what a monster."
She exhaled slowly.
"Can you imagine what would happen if she'd had her way?
I wouldn't have been unjustly persecuted by the wardens for years." Anastasia's lips firmed into a line.
"Once a body of laws describing justice was applied to the council, it would only be a short step to using that body to involve the council in events happening in the outside world."
"Gosh, yeah," I said. "You're right. A bunch of wizards trying to affect good in the world would be awful."
"Who's good?" Anastasia asked calmly.
"No one is an unjust villain in his own mind, Harry. Perhaps even especially, those who are the worst of us. Some of the cruelest tyrants in history were motivated by noble ideals, or made choices that they would call hard but necessary steps for the good of their nation. We're all the hero of our own story."
"Yeah, it was really hard to tell who the good guys and the bad guys were in World War II.
She rolled her eyes.
"You've read the histories written by the victors of that war, Harry. As someone who lived through it, I can tell you that at the time of the war, there was a great deal less certainty. There were stories of atrocities in Germany, but for every one that was true, there were another 5 or 6 that weren't.
How could one have told the difference between the true stories, the propaganda, and simple fabrications and myths created by the people of the nations Germany had attacked?
Might have been a bit easier if there had been a wizard or three around to help, I said. She gave me an oblique look.